Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. As we go through the Ten Commandments, it's opening up so much more that as we read these, normally in our Bible reading, we just kind of hit one, and we don't think about what we're reading. We just said, all right, God says don't lie, God says don't commit adultery, don't do this. But we don't think about a little bit deeper, how does it reflect God? What does he mean by this? Why is this commandment there in the first place? Why did he say this commandment and not something else? Remember, each one of these Ten Commandments is a reflection of God. May I also remind you that as we read the Ten Commandments, we also put the qualifier that the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. We mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. The only thing that makes anything wrong is because God said it was wrong. And as we come through here, we see that these are God's 10 commandments, and they come from the Lord. They're not 10 suggestions, 10 things that would be nice to do. These are 10 things that God gives as an expectation. But as we give that expectation, we also understand none of us can live up to it. And so right over the 10 commandments in big boxcard letters, we should have in our mind, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Jesus. So once again, if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, and let's read the Ten Commandments. Again, before each of the Ten Commandments, I'm going to give the qualifier that the Lord gives. I am the Lord thy God. Let's start in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I am the Lord thy God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark what is commonly called the third commandment? The third commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And with the Lord's help, we want to preach on this third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God is very serious about this commandment, and we'll see that in a bit. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, as we hit the principle of this verse, as we hit the principle of this commandment, Lord, I'm asking that it would have the side effect, the purpose, the intention of drawing people close to you. Lord, I know that within a church like this, there are people who are different destinations, different distances from you. There may be some people who are striving to get close to you. There may be some people who are so far away from you in their heart. I'm asking that today, that you would let us realize where we are at in our standing with you, and that you would draw us closer, that we would take the steps, that you would fulfill your promise that as we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. Help us to hold you close. Help us to realize all that this commandment entails, that we could glorify and honor you more. Again, I trust not my own, so the best I know how, once again, I surrender myself to you and beg that you please fill me with your precious Spirit, that you get your own work accomplished through your word, that you would let it make sense, that you would let it be understandable, and that you would let it be applicable, and that people would respond to you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come up to what is called the third commandment, we see that God is very clear. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This is what we call the third commandment. And if you don't mind, I think it's always proper to define our terms. Let's define some of the words that we see in this commandment so that way we could have a better understanding. The first thing I want to do is show you the meaning. The meaning. Let's define the terms. First of all, notice what it says. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Notice that word take. Here we see the word take. It carries the idea to lift up, specifically dealing with a worship service, to lift up. So this is dealing with worship primarily. That do not take, do not lift up, don't say, don't bring up the name of the Lord in vain. So it's dealing with the idea of lifting up, to bringing to a cross, to saying it. Don't take, don't lift up the name of the Lord in vain. Notice another word we want to emphasize, to define here. Notice the word vain. Twice it is used in this passage. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That word vain means empty or lightly. Empty or lightly. So whenever we lift up God's name and we say it lightly or flippantly, we have violated this commandment. You see, this commandment goes beyond profanity and it goes to the heart of a Christian, the heart of a believer. Do you know that we as believers are more guilty of breaking this commandment than any lost person? This is dealing with worship. Lost people cannot worship God, nor do they desire to worship God. It is the Christians who are violating this commandment of taking, lifting up God's name in a religious setting and making it empty, making it light. One other word I want to define within this is the word guiltless. Notice the language that God uses. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Notice this, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh the name of the Lord in vain. Now, hopefully I've gotten your attention so far. I've already gotten your attention by saying it is us as Christians that violate this commandment. And I've already said that it's to make God's name light. It's to lift it up lightly and vain, emptily. But notice what God says, I will not hold him guiltless. Remember at the beginning of the service, I told you to pay attention to the words, to think about the words as we sing it. Unfortunately, and we're going to prove it in a second, some of you have violated this commandment just a little bit ago. And you know what God said? He will not hold you guiltless. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. What does this word guiltless mean? The word guiltless carries the idea to be morally clean. So God will not hold you to be guiltless or morally clean. God says you are not right with God, and God considers you not right with God if you lift up his name in vain. Now, I'm assuming I've got your attention now. Let's look and see more about this commandment. I've defined my terms, meaning, let me also, as we introduce this in another second, let's introduce the idea of having the name of Christ, having the name of the Lord. Do you know that you can have God's name in your life? You could carry God's name. The Bible speaks about this. Hold your finger with me really quick and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. People can actually carry the name of the Lord. And this is very important. Notice with me the book of Romans, starting at verse number 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over or all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that we can carry God's name, that we could be adopted into his family, we could be born again to his family very simply by recognizing, first of all, that we're sinners. Every single one of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of our sin that we owe God a punishment, for the wages of sin is death. That because of our sin we owe God a punishment. We deserve to die. The good news is that Jesus died for you. That for God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But as this passage says here, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the Bible uses a couple different illustrations to show what happens when we call upon the name of the Lord. It says in John chapter 3 that we are born again, that you are born into God's family. You know, I have 3 children, and I'm thankful, Lord, for them. They're gifts of God. But you know, all of my children carry my last name. Why? Because they're born into my family. And you know what happens? They represent me. As my children, they represent me. The Bible says that they've been adopted to my family. I was adopted. I had my name legally changed because my stepfather adopted me into his family, and I now carry his name. The Bible says that we're adopted. The Bible also talks about that there is a marriage there. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's almost like a marriage, and that one day we're going to be the bride of Christ. You know, when my wife stood in an altar and I said, I do, and the preacher asked, wilt thou? And she wilted, and she said, I do. You know what happened? She got a different name. She now carries that name. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now what is called a Christian. And the beginning part of that word is Christ. You carry Christ's name. And that you, as a Christian, are a representation of your family, of your father, of your husband-to-be. You carry that name. Maybe I could give you an illustration. In the military, they have specific rules and regulations. And one of them is that if a child or a spouse gets in trouble with the law, the military person is held responsible. So let's say that my wife wrote bad checks. In the military, guess who is responsible? It would be me. If one of my children got in trouble on a military base or with the law, I would be the one who would have to answer for it and be in trouble. Why? Because they carry my name. I'm held responsible. They are a reflection of me. You remember when you were a little kid and you went to a school field trip and they put you aside and said, all right, we're going to the school field trip. Now you remember, you represent the school. You behave yourself. Why? Because you're representing someone. Have you ever had a parent say, all right, this is what Bockhouses do. They use whatever name you have. This is how Bockhouses act. This is what we do in our family. You know, there's some expectations, and there should be. You should have some good family expectations and things that this is what our family does. Well, when you become born into God's family, when you become adopted to God's family, when you become married in God's family, you carry the name of Christ. And what you do is a reflection of who Christ is to others. And what you do is you carry his name. But I want to give you the good news, dear friend, first of all, that if you are not a Christian, you can become a Christian, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That you recognize that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you've offended a holy, righteous God. But God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And all you must personally do is accept what Jesus has done for you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, as we look through the book of Acts, we're not going to turn there now. They were first called Christians at Antioch because the rest of the world said, hey, those are just like Christ. They're behaving just like Christ. For someone who calls himself a Christian, you know what the expectation is? That you act just like Christ. But you also carry his name. So go back with me in the book of Exodus. As we explore this commandment, we set up some groundwork. We try to define the meaning. Then we said that you can carry the name of Christ by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And with the crowd that we have in here this morning, most of you have that testimony of accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. That means you are carrying, you are representing Christ's name. As we come and hit this commandment now, I want to remind you or show you or teach you that there are three ways of breaking this commandment. There are three ways that we can break this commandment. First of all, the most obvious one is by profanity, by cursing. When people use God's name in vain, the most obvious way is when they use it as a curse word. By the way, excuse my language, but God's last name is not damn. It should never be used in profanity. For someone who says, oh my, and then replace it with the Lord's name, that is breaking this commandment. Well, someone says, well, I don't use God's name, I use gosh. Everyone knew what it was. That is a supply in there. Whenever you use oh my and then even replace it with gosh, you have violated and broken this commandment. When someone is hammering a nail into it and they hit their thumb and they say, then use the name of Jesus Christ, they have broken the commandment. Because you're not calling upon God, you're using his name as a profanity. And God said he will not hold him guiltless. You are not morally clean. You are not right with the Lord if you use God's name in vain. Now I'll define that. Why is God putting such a high mark on this verse? We'll talk about that in a second. Right now, we're talking about how you could break it. Christians should never, ever, ever use oh my in there. Don't even use the text OMG. That's popular now. That's the same thing. Christians should never, ever, ever, ever use that because you're a representation of Christ. Every time Christ should come out of your mouth, it should be reflecting who he is, even to a lost and dying world. We understand that lost people, they don't know Jesus, and they may break this commandment, but it's because they don't know him personally. If you know Christ personally, let me tell you, dear friend, Jesus, the name of Jesus should always be precious to you. And it should always be special. And it should be never used lightly in vain in the idea of profanity. There's a second way we could break this commandment. Not only in profanity, we could break it in frivolity. Frivolity. You say, what in the world's that? That's using it in a joking manner. For example, someone will say, yeah, God and Moses were up fishing up in heaven, and Moses decided that as the ball went into the water that he parted the sea and was able to get it, you know. I've heard people tell jokes like that. We should never joke about heavenly things. Heaven should never be used as a joke. God's name should not be used as a joke. Talking about heavenly things, even talking things about hell, should never be used in a light, frivolous, joking manner. The things of the Lord are serious things. Do you know that people will take your God serious if you take your God serious? It is not cute to use God's name and saying that Moses and God are golfing up in heaven. That's taking God lightly. That's making him small. That's making him something that he's not. We should not be joking about those things. But that's a second way that we could break this commandment. Not only using it as profanity, we could use it frivolously by using it jokingly and joke about heavenly things. The third way we could break this commandment is that we could break it by hypocrisy. We could break it by hypocrisy. What that means is not meaning it. If your habit of writing notes down, let me give you something to write down. We break the third commandment whenever we have Jesus' name on our lips, but it's not currently burning in our hearts. We break the third commandment whenever we have Jesus' names on our lips, but it's not currently burning in our hearts. For example, we just got through singing hymns, and inside of those hymns, it was talking about who Jesus is. If you were singing those hymns and you were currently thinking about, when is the preacher going to shut up? When are we going to do about supper? What are we going to do about later? What's that video game? What's that show? Go Tennessee Titans. Did you see that pass yesterday? And you're thinking about something else that is going on. You have broken that commandment. Anytime you use Jesus' name and you have it on your lips, but it's not currently burning in your heart, you violated this commandment. I tell you, Christians around the world every Sunday violate this commandment because we don't pay attention to the hymns we sing. We're not thinking about the words. We're not thinking about our Christ. We're not thinking about what He has done for us. We're not reflecting about how great of a God He is. We're singing the words, and we can put on automatic pilot. We can. We do. We could sing words and we're singing what they said. We trained ourselves, but our mind is using that time to think about something else. We are all guilty of violating this commandment. And I want to remind you what Jesus says. He will not hold us guiltless. He will not hold us guiltless for those that take His name in vain. Dear friend, this is a way to tell your heart condition. You know, many people have some outside things. You could say, that guy's not right with the Lord. Look at what he's doing. Oh, that guy's not right with the Lord. Look at his behavior. Look at that guy. He keeps disrupting class. Look at that guy. But it's the most dangerous people when they have their behavior right, when their heart is dark inside, because it is so far away from the Lord. And this is a good spiritual gauge for our own heart. No one else can tell when you're singing a song whether you mean it or not. I'm sure there's ways that he really means it. You know, when's the last time you sang a hymn, and thinking about Christ made you tear up when you're singing that hymn? Normally we just sing it because it's what we do. It's Baptist time. We know that we do this, and it's the hymn thing, and then after that the offering, and after this, we have our little time structures. But God is so far away in our hearts. Not that He's far away. Our hearts are so far away from Him. The whole purpose of this commandment is to keep God close. The purpose of this commandment is to keep worship close to God. It's all about worship. What is worship? Worship is ascribing value to. How valuable is Christ to you? You say, well, I think He's very valuable. Then you prove it to yourself and to the Lord by simple things like singing hymns. And when you sing these old-fashioned hymns and they talk about Christ, we should be thinking about what Christ has done for us. We should be thinking about what the words say. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. When we sing that song, it should be registered in our own minds. There's not a friend like Him. There's no one like Him. No, not one. No, not one. If we sang that, we weren't paying attention. It's our own heart condition that tells us we are away from the Lord. And God does not hold us guiltless. We are not morally clean. We can say we're right with the Lord because we dressed up today, because we showed up to Sunday school. We have a Bible under our arm. But we could be so far away from Him right now, because He's not close to us in our own hearts. He's not what we're thinking about. He's not what we're meditating on. He doesn't have our thoughts. Our thoughts are divided. We're thinking about all kinds of different things. Everything but Him. That's when we're in danger. You see, this third commandment is all about keeping Christ close. It's keeping God close. How close is He to you? Is He close to you? Is He burning in your heart? When you talk about Jesus, is it here? Or is it just something that you have in your mind? It's all dealing with worship. Which brings me to the fourth thing I want to bring up. When sincere worship declines, what are some things that causes our worship, our close to God, how valuable we think God is in our own minds, moment by moment? What are things that causes worship of God to decline? Well, first of all, is a preoccupation with problems. A preoccupation with problems. Do you know that we can get so preoccupied about our own problems that we fail to think about who Jesus is? We may think about our work. Oh, you don't understand what it's going on at work. Maybe it's a big project. Maybe it's a deadline. Maybe it's my health problems. Maybe it's my family problems. Maybe it's my financial problems. But we're thinking so much about our problems, we fail to think about our Lord. And I'm talking not just in church time. I'm talking about daily. That we could think so much about Christ. If I could give you a personal testimony, and forgive me, there was a time in my life when I was in the military that I went to a brand new Air Force base and my truck broke down immediately. And so I had to be dependent on people for rides to church. And unfortunately, the person who was assigned to give me a ride from church, he was getting further away from the Lord till he no longer picked me up. And for some reason, I couldn't get anyone else to pick me up from church. And so for 2 years on a military base, I was didn't go to church. Now, I read my Bible every day, but it was useless, and I prayed every day, and they bounced off the ceiling. But I justified myself, said, I'm better than the rest of the Christians, so at least I read my Bible, at least I pray. What really haunted me is that I came to the realization at the very end that I had went 2 weeks without thinking about who Jesus was. 2 weeks! Read my Bible every day, prayed every day, but I didn't think about who Jesus was. I didn't even think about Jesus. I read my Bible like you sometimes do, that we touch, have our eyes touch every word of the page, don't get anything out of it. I didn't think about Jesus. When I prayed, it's lay me down to sleep, or rub-a-dub-dub, thanks my grub, it's some ritual prayer. 2 weeks I had went doing everything right as a Christian, except not going to church, which I blamed on someone else. But my heart was so far away. So far away. That's when I realized how backslidden I was and begged that the Lord to get me back into church and get things fixed in my life. You know, people could come to church and be so backslidden because they don't think about Christ personally. I mean, they think of Christ, because preacher said Jesus, and that's your cue to say amen, and everyone thinks that you're right, and everyone, look at the night, look at the kids, but their hearts can be so far away. People could be in church for 30 years, but their hearts can be so far away. The purpose of this commandment is to keep us close to Him. And one of the first ways that causes this decline in our worship to God, our personal heart worship to God, is a preoccupation of problems. That we think about our problems, think about issues, and our heart gets far away. A second thing that causes decline in sincere worship, a worldly spirit. A worldly spirit. When we love the things of the world, we love its video games. Sports activities, movies. You could tell the degree temperature of a church by the conversations people have before service, in between services, and after services. I'm not in Tennessee now, but I know my Facebook page lit up because of an amazing pass or something that Tennessee Volunteers, which is their state religion down there, they made a pass, a Hail Mary pass at the last 4 seconds and something like that. You know what? I know a good number of those people before service, in between service, and after service, all they're going to do is talk about the game. You could hear a message like this, and instead of talking about, man, our how close is Jesus to you? I need to get closer to Jesus. They can't wait to get out of service so they could talk about the game. You say, what's wrong with the game? Nothing except that it interferes with our worship of Christ. Ever had a favorite video game or a favorite show that you thought about all the time? And it got to the place where you're thinking about it all the time. And man, I can't wait to watch the next day. I can't. That can put a wedge between you and the Lord. You could still look like a Christian. You could still go to church. You could still put offering in the plate. But your heart could be so far away because you're not thinking about who the Lord is. Even in a church service, and that's when one of the big flashing lights should come. Are we thinking about Christ? Or is our mind occupied with something else? Preoccupation with problems, a worldly spirit. A third thing that causes sincere worship to decline, disobedience to God. You cannot be close to God when you're telling him no. Maybe God is speaking to you. And maybe God is telling you something. Maybe he's telling you need to be closer in your Bible. That you need to... Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe you need to give more. Maybe you need to go witness more. Whatever it is that he's trying to get a hold of you. And you say, no, God. No. No. I don't want to. I don't want to. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell you to go tell someone about the Lord. And you know it's someone. You need to call someone. No. No. Maybe you need to forgive someone. No. No. You cannot be close to God the same time you're telling him no. There's a wedge there, and disobedience will cause you to get far away from God in your own heart. Another thing that makes sincere worship decline is a lazy, casual worship of God. A lazy, casual worship. For example, you get the people who wear the t-shirts that has the Reese's Pieces thing, and it says, GC or JC is my friend, my bud, and they're speaking of Jesus Christ. You know, even today, I don't know Green Bay that well, but we came from the South and they had those churches all over where they got the rock band going up and they have a casual thing. Yo, JC, yeah. And you know, that's violating the commandment anyways by making light of Jesus' name. But there's a casual, lazy approach to worship. It's not a seriousness. People say, church should be fun. And by the way, I do believe church should be fun. But there should be a seriousness and a holiness and a somberness dealing with the Lord because he is God. But people can take an idea where let's have fun and let's it's all about our enjoyment. It's all about us. Let's put the concert on and let's do the other thing. And then maybe if we got time, we'll let someone give a religious speech for about 5 minutes. Those are dangerous. In Phoenix, they had different things. But they had a special ministry in one church that was called Beer and Bible. It was a place where you can meet in a bar-like setting where people could open their Bible and drink a beer and meet friends of like mind. That's horrible. That's horrible. Those things should not be done. And I could give you more and more examples. I was reading an article. It was a satire, but what makes satire so effective is because it could be real. It was talking about how one church, and again, it's satire, one church had put a water slide into their baptism tank. And so all of a sudden, the baptisms in their church has gone up because everyone wanted to go to the water slide and get baptized. We could laugh at that, but do you realize that we're not that far away from someone actually doing that? That's a lazy, casual. It doesn't lift up Christ. It doesn't make Christ holy. It doesn't lift up how powerful and see Christ. It makes it lazy and casual, and it keeps people's heart from being close to the Lord. That is a certain reason why we do certain things in here. It's why we stick with the old hymns. That's why we still preach. That's why we encourage people to dress up. Why? Because we want to make things about the Lord serious. We want him to be important. We want it that this meeting here is an important thing because it's all about Christ. And we're meeting with the King. But when there's a lazy, casual approach, it keeps people's hearts away from the Lord. What else can cause people sincere worship? A preoccupation of problems, a worldly spirit, disobedience to Christ, a lazy, casual approach. Here's something else. False teaching. False teaching. You know what false teaching is? It's a disrespect of God's authority. It's a disrespect of God's authority. What does the Bible say? Well, if God said it, that's what we should preach. When people take the Bible and they twist it to their own things, they are disobeying God's authority. He's not close to them. And what happens when people get false teaching, it pulls them away from Christ. It is amazing. Facebook is a wonderful tool because, forgive the terminology, we get to spy on people. We get to watch people's lives. They will put things on Facebook that they normally wouldn't say publicly. You know how many people who went to Bible college and whatnot, they get a hold of doctrine and you watch their life change and get worse and worse and worse. You know, it's been my observation all these years, all false doctrine causes people to get further and further away from the Lord. When they grab a hold of something because they like it, it changes their stance, their standards, who they are, and their worship of Christ. That's why doctrine is so important to guard and it's so important to teach, because false doctrine pull people away from the Lord. You know, if someone said they had a doctrine that was different from me and they were closer to the Lord, I might actually listen to, you know, and try to consider what they're saying. You know, what is this? But every time people have false doctrine that's against the Bible, it pulls them away from the Lord. And changes it, and they change their lives, and it's seen in their lives every time. That's why I use the example of Bible college. I know what they were taught. Same thing I was. They had the truth, but they changed the truth, and the rest of their life reflects it. You know, if you could forgive the personal illustration again. No, I'm not going to do it. I have too many stories of people doing that. And some of them are horrifying things that we've... What? What? It's horrible. Horrible. There's another thing that we could put in. When sincere worship declines, we talked about that when we preoccupied with problems, what can happen is that could cause our mind to go away from the Lord. A worldly spirit, when we're concentrating more things about the world rather than the Lord. When a case disobedience to God. No, God, I'm not going to do it. You can't be close to Him when you tell Him no. A lazy, casual approach when we're lazy in our worship to God, or lazy in how we treat the Lord. False teaching. But there's one other thing. A discontent, grumbling spirit. A discontent, grumbling spirit. The book of Romans explains this, that when the people are rejecting God, the very first thing it says, neither were they thankful. You know, unthankfulness is one of the number one ways to get our hearts far from the Lord. When you're not thankful, what you're doing is you're saying, God is not good to me. When you're grumbling and you're complaining, what you're saying is, God was not good. And as long as you're saying God is not good, you cannot be close to Him. By the way, God is nothing but good. But when we get to the place where we're not thankful, why do I have to come to church? You know, you're not close to the Lord. Why do I have to read my Bible? You're not close to the Lord. Why do I have to take time to pray? You're not close to the Lord. You say, but everyone else thinks I'm a great Christian. I'm not talking about what everybody else thinks. I'm talking about what the Lord thinks. Where is your own heart? By the way, I don't have to put a little gauge or meter. You know where you're at. You know your own heart. You know whether you want to be here or not. You know whether you want to pay attention or not. You know your heart. I don't have to tell you. Your heart inside of you is either convicting you or telling you, that's right. That's right. That's what the Holy Spirit, it's going beside me. I don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit saying, that's it. I don't have to point out which one of these are you guilty of. You know your own heart. You say, why are you preaching this? You're trying to make us miserable? No, the opposite. I want you to get close with the Lord. I have to point out where sin in our life, where issues in our life, things that keep us from paying attention to Him, because it's all about Him. Where is your heart? You're always as close to the Lord as you want to be. And one of the number one ways that keeps that the first step of our heart getting away from the Lord is being unthankful. Are you thankful, or do you grumble and complain and say God's not good? You cannot be grumbling, you cannot complain, and be close to the Lord at the same time. It's when we are thankful for everything that we stay close to the Lord. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what you have? Maybe I could put it like this. If God was to take away everything that you weren't thankful for this week, what would you have left? Think about it. For everything that you weren't thankful for, actively, purposely thankful for this week, what would you have left? Your car, your house, your children, your food, finances. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what you have? What would God take away if he took away everything that you weren't actively, purposely thankful for this week? Thankfulness is tied in to our worship of who God is. Is he a big God to you? Remember, we define the third commandment simply as this. We have violated the third commandment any time that Jesus' name is on our lips, but is not currently burning in our hearts. We should never lift up God's glorious, wonderful name without thinking about its meaning and having sincerity of believing it. How do you treat God's name? We're not talking about lost people again. We're not talking about people who say, I hate God. We're talking about us. It is us that have violated this commandment. It is us that our hearts are not as close to the Lord as it should be. It is us that needs this. It is us who claim to believe in God. It is us that need to be close with him. And it is us that our own hearts are away from him. How close to the Lord are you? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.